Esme had time to meditate on those words as the long arm of the fleet's judicial branch separated her from the other junior officers, put her aboard a courier escort, and whisked her to fleet headquarters a full 8 days before the others arrived. She met her defense counsel, a balding, middle-aged major who looked more like a bureaucrat than an officer. He had the incipient paunch of someone who avoided the gym, except in the last few weeks before the annual physical fitness test. Major Chapin shook his head, poring over Esme's file.
It would have made sense for them to link the cases. Starting at the back end, you're the hero of Xavier, you saved the planet, the system, and an admiral's niece's ass. Unfortunately...
It was explained to me.
Good. At least none of the records are missing. We'll need to prepare separately for the captain's board of inquiry and for each of the main threats of the court-martial. I hope you have an organized mind.
I think so.
Good. For the time being... Forget military protocol if you can. I'm going to call you Esme, and you're going to call me Fred, because we have too much work to let formality slow us down. Clear?
Yes, sir. Fred.
Good. Now, tell me everything you told the investigators, and then everything you didn't tell them. The whole story of your life isn't too long. I won't get bored, and I don't know what's useful until I hear it.
In the next few days, Esme found that Major Chapin meant what he'd said. She also found herself increasingly comfortable talking to him, which made her nervous. She reminded herself that she was a grown-up, not a child who could throw herself at any friendly adult when she needed comfort. She even mentioned the nightmares, the ones connected to Xavier.
You might want to consider a psych session if it's bothering you that much.
It's not now. It was those first days after.
Sounds normal to me. If you're sleeping well enough to stay alert, there's an advantage in not going for a psych evaluation now, you see, because it might look as if we're going to plead mental incompetence.
Oh.
But by all means, if you need it.
I don't.
Good. Now, about this petty thievery you said was plaguing the enlisted lockers?
Circumstances conspired to shift the date of the court-martial so that the captain's board met first.
You don't take counsel to a board of inquiries, so you'll have to remember everything we've talked about by yourself. You can always ask for a short recess and come ask me, but it leaves a bad impression. Damn it. I wanted you to have experience before you went in alone.
Can't be helped.
Chapin looked mildly surprised, which almost annoyed her. Had he expected Esme to complain when it would do no good? To make a useless fuss? And to him?
Huh? I'm glad you're taking it that way. Now, if they don't bring up the matter of the damage to the nav computer, you have two choices.
That session went on for hours until Esme felt she understood the point of Chapin's advice, as well as the advice itself. The morning the board hearing began, Chapin walked her into the building and all the way to the anteroom where he would wait in case she asked for a recess and his guidance.
Chin up, Lieutenant. Keep in mind that you won the battle and didn't lose your ship.
The Board of Inquiry made no allowances for the irregular way in which Esme had arrived in command of Despite, or so it seemed from the questions. If a Jig commanded in battle, that Jig had better know what she was doing, and every error Esme made came up. Even before the next senior officer died of wounds, why had she not prepared for command? Surely that mess on the bridge could have been cleaned up faster. Esme, remembering the near panic, the need to secure every single compartment, check every single crew member, still thought there were more important things than cleaning blood off the command chair. She didn't say that, but she did list the other emergencies that had seemed more pressing. The board chair, a hard-faced one-star admiral Esme had never heard anything about, good or bad, listened to this with compressed lips and no expression she could read. Why, when she took command, had she chosen to creep into one system, the right move, all agreed, given what she found, and then go blazing back into Xavier, where she had every reason to believe an enemy force lay in wait? Didn't she realize that more competent mining of the jump point entry corridor would have made that suicidal? Esme wasn't about to argue that her decision made sense. She had followed an instinct, not anything rational, and instincts killed more often than they saved. And why hadn't she thought of using a micro-jump to kill momentum earlier, when she might have saved two ships and not just one? Esme explained about the nav computer, the need to patch a replacement chip from one of the missile control units. and on, hour after hour. They seemed far less interested, in fact, not interested at all, in how the Despite had blown the enemy flagship than in her mistakes. The board replayed surveillance material, pointed out discrepancies, lectured, and when it was over at last, Esme went out feeling as if she'd been boiled until all her bones dissolved in the soup. Major Chapin, waiting in the anteroom, where he'd watched on a video link, handed her a glass of water.
You probably don't believe this, but you did as well as you could, given the circumstances.
I don't think so.
Major Chapin sat watching her until she had finished that glass.
Lieutenant, I know you're tired and probably feel that you've been pulled sideways through a wire gauge, but you need to hear this. Boards of inquiry are supposed to be grueling. That's part of their purpose. You stood up there and told the truth. You didn't get flustered, you didn't waffle, you didn't make excuses. Your handling of the nav computer failure was perfect. You gave them the facts and then dropped it. You let Timmy Warnstedt chew you up one side and down the other, and at the end you were still on your feet answering stupid questions in a civil tone of voice. I've worked with senior commanders who did worse.
Really?
Esme wasn't sure if it was hope she felt or simply astonishment that someone, anyone, could approve of something she did.
Really? Not only that, remember what I told you at the beginning. You didn't lose your ship, and you made a decisive move in the battle. They can't ignore that, even if they think it was blind accident. And after your testimony, they're much less likely to think it was accidental. I wish they'd asked more about the details. You were right not to volunteer it, since it would have sounded like making excuses, but it annoys me when they ignore briefs. I put it all in. The least they could do is read it and ask the right questions. Of course, there will be negative comments, there always are, if something gets as far as a board. But they know, whether they're willing to admit it or not, that you did well for a junior in combat for the first time.
The door opened, and Esme had to go back. She returned to her place, facing the long table with the five officers.
This is a complicated case, and the board has arrived at a complicated resolution. Lieutenant Suiza, this board finds that your handling of the Despite, from the time you assumed effective command after Dover's wounds rendered him incapable of taking the bridge, to your precipitous return to Xavier, was within the standards expected of a fleet captain.
Esme felt the first quiver of hope that she was not going to be tossed out on her ear just before being imprisoned as the result of the court-martial. Admiral Warnstadt glanced down at his notes.
However, your tactical decisions when you returned to the Xavier system were markedly substandard. This board notes that this was your first experience of combat and your first time in command of a ship. The board makes appropriate allowances for these circumstances. Still, the board recommends that you not be considered for command of a regular space service vessel until you have shown, in combat situations, the level of tactical and operational competence expected of warship commanders.
Esme almost nodded. As Chapin had warned her, and she already understood, they could not ignore her mistakes. Such boards existed to point out to captains that luck, even great good luck, was no substitute for competence. Warnstadt looked up at her again, this time with one corner of that lean mouth tucked up in what might almost be a smile.
On the other hand, the board notes that your unorthodox maneuvers resulted in the defeat of an enemy vessel markedly superior in firepower and mass, and the successful defense of Xavier. You seem well aware of your shortcomings as commander of a ship in combat. The board feels that your character and your deportment are both suitable for command positions in the future, as long as you get the requisite experience first. Few lieutenants junior grade command anything bigger than a shuttle anyway. The board's recommendation should have the effect of giving you time to grow into your potential. Now, a complete transcript of the board's recommendation will be forwarded to you and your counsel at a later date, should you wish to appeal.
Esme knew she would be crazy to appeal. This was the best outcome she could have hoped for.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
She got through the rest of the ritual, the dismissal of the board and the necessary individual acknowledgement of each member, without being fully aware what she said. She wanted to fall into a bed and sleep for a month. But in 3 days, her court-martial would begin.
The Serrano Legacy, Once a Hero, is continued on the next CD.